All right, so again, we're going to open our Bibles up to Genesis chapter 6. And when we last left off last week, we came to a conclusion when it came to the sons of God, and it was a difficult scripture. There's a lot of different points of view. But in essence, we came to the conclusion through scripture that when you looked at what it meant, it was in essence something like there were cast down ones, giant tyrants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards. Well, when? Well, it was in a time when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and had children. Those are the people we're talking about, Moses is trying to say. Those were the mighty men who were strong. But I talked about how, of course, it's possibly both. And we come to a conclusion when we see in Scripture that, yes, the angels did come down, fallen angels who are demons, and had sex with women. I also gave you my background, a little bit of understanding of my time in, my experience was with demons, angels, and Jesus, and how I talked about a real-world example of a demonic entity continuing to molest and rape a woman for a long time. I told you guys, if you wanted to go online, you can check that out. The movie was, of course, The Entity. I wouldn't recommend that. But it happens even now. It happens in the world. It happened to her, of course, because she was in witchcraft. So she opened that door. So we got to be careful. Chuck was here last time, I sort of left off with, all right, is it possible that angels have sexual organs? No, there's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in history, nowhere even in ex-Satanists who would come together. They were possessed. They would have sex for their rituals. And the only way that anyone ever got pregnant was because it took a human being together to make it. And it's possible that they manipulated the DNA or the sperm. And we take an example from Job, how Satan manipulated the body of Job. So it is possible. But again, we won't know fully until we're with the Lord. I talked about perspectives. And if you don't have a background in, let's say, spiritual issues, or you've never been possessed or sort of angels, it's difficult for you to accept these things. It doesn't mean that you need these things or it's better or anything like that. I explained again, I had these experiences because I was brought up in paganism and witchcraft, and it was generational curses, so I needed to be delivered. So anyway, it does happen now in different cults, in their rituals, and yes, demons do somehow have sexual relations that don't bring in children, but it happens. And you can, there's a lot of books out there from ex-Satanists and people who are in Wicca, people who are into black magic, who had these things happen to them, but it was part of their rituals. And you can actually look for those and pick them up in Christian bookstores. But again, I would always caution you as you read it to make sure it aligns with Scripture. There are many people who have ministries who help other people get delivered from that because their background is that, and God has given them that gift to set the captives free. So that's what it is. We've come to that, and we looked at the book of Enoch, where it was taken from that, and it's corrupt. There was a bit of mix-up in translations. So I think we covered it pretty well. What do you think? What do you think? You think it's pretty covered? What do you think, John? It's good enough for now? So we're going to look at, and we're going to see if we understand it a little bit more clearly. And that's why I want us to start off from verse 1 going into verse 8, because that is a difficult scripture, and we're going to see if it comes together more easily. So we're going to start off in Genesis 6 once again in verse 1. Now keep in mind what we talked about and see if it's more clear to you. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, remember we know that that's only that exact phrase is for angels, saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives or women for themselves of all whom they chose. Now here's a little insertion here from Moses saying something. He's saying, and he put it in here, and the Lord says, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, and he is corrupted flesh. The word we looked at when it came to strive or is judge them, show them the right way, all of what a judge can do, even be merciful. And he goes on, God goes on to say, yet his days shall be 120 years. God giving man 120 years grace to possibly change before he brings in the flood. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards. And when was this? It was when in the time when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore children to them. Moses is saying, in this little part, we're talking about those mighty men. Those were the men of old who were known, not the children of the cohabitation of demon-possessed men and women, the ones who were just those renowned men. Now, it's possible it was both. But so we see what happened here. He's saying that this is all that's going on right now. It was corrupt. There was total corruption throughout the world. So what is happening next? Verse 5. After he explains it to us, Moses, what he wants us to know, he explains what God does. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the earth, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's another scripture that is difficult to understand, because you're looking at this scripture and it says, the Lord was sorry. The King James translates is different. He repented. And it makes you think, okay, wait a second. How can God repent? Well, the Bible says he's not a man that he has to repent. It's the understanding of the word or how he's trying, what he's trying to say here. So when we're looking at that, we're going to look into that and I'm going to go into that scripture a little bit more. But as we're looking at this, he looked down and he saw that wickedness was all around. Jesus said he will come back. His second coming will be as the days of Noah were. Well, how was that? And he talks about it. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says what? They're given in marriage. They're eating and drinking. But they didn't understand that they were about to be wiped out. Noah went in the boat, and I'm paraphrasing this, and then it came upon them suddenly. So what's wrong with eating and drinking? What is with this days of Noah and Jesus? We got to look, of course, to Jesus, because Jesus is God. Here is God again saying, it's going to be like I said. Well, how is that? Is there anything wrong with eating and drinking or marrying? What does he mean by this? Well, when you're looking at it, in the days of Noah, they weren't concerned with God and his ways, but they were concerned with their own desires and lusts. So that's what the key thing is when you're looking at what it says first in the days of Noah. And let's break down what we just read from 5 to 8. How was this? The first thing God said is what? He saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, not just some, intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And what does that mean? Every part of humanity was corrupt and sinful. That's a big place to be. So you have to think about that first. And what's the first thing that we saw in Genesis 6:1? God says what? Or through Moses, he says, man began to increase. Dave, did you put up my slides? They're up? All right, I think I got to do it. There we go. Here's the bonus slide that I forgot to add. I just wanted to remind you guys that in the book of Enoch, it says that the Nephilim were that tall, and you see the Empire State Building. And we looked at a little about it, how it's just, it can't be, because even the angels were tall, but not that tall. All right, so I wanted to show you this graph. And the first thing that it talks about in Genesis 6:1 is man or human beings started to increase. So here's an interesting graph, and see if we're in the times of Noah. It takes us from, 1950 to our time. Our time is about 7.8 million or so, give or take, let's say several million who have not been in the census. But look at the difference between 1950 and 2021, talking about billions. It was around what in 1950? 2.5 billion. But look at what it is right now, basically around 8 billion people. So one key thing in the time of Noah is that population explosion. If you think about the beginning of the 19th century and an industrial revolution, since that time, everything just basically exploded. So look at it, look what's happening right now. We're having the same thing now. You see an explosion of the population. So what else is an issue that happened in the days of Noah in Genesis and God telling us it's the same thing? Well, it goes on afterwards in 6:2. Sons of God, daughters of men. And what is the next one that we see? Oh, that's not it. Don't look at that. Cover your eyes. There you go. Hold on. There it is. The next one is what? Sexual perversion. And you see that, what? Sex on TV, sex in music, sex online. Yes, you see sex robots. Because the scientific community and the people came together and psychologists and said, well, this is going to be an issue because people are going to want, when technology comes out, to make phony women. And if you look at science books, technology books, it is out, it is there. Is that a perversion of what God intended, to have a sex robot? Yes. But as we continue to progress in technology, that is a given, seeing that man is totally corrupt. And remember what it said, every intent, God said, the thoughts of his heart is corrupt. Then you see no sex. In other words, you can be any gender you want and sleep with whoever you want. This one is the most, to me, the most vile, child sex. And child sex, yes, regardless of what people hear, there you see what happened in the media and the TV and the moguls going to other countries to have sex with children. And yes, even people in our government. Bestiality is, of course, there. And we have to put in spiritual sex because you have the cults coming together, allowing themselves to be possessed. And part, a big part of what they do in their rituals has to do with sex. So Genesis, sexual perversion, in our time today, all of this and more of sexual perversion. What comes after that? Demonic activity. Now notice there's sort of a pattern as well. When you open yourself up, the demonic activity comes in as well. Days of Noah, are they today? Cults, of course. We have the occult, which is Wicca, which is they consider that white magic. But it isn't white magic. It is black magic. It is demonic. Of course, there is, everyone knows, black magic, Satanism. If you ever heard of Anton LaVey, he started the Church of Satan in California. His mentor was Aleister Crowley, and I would put in there Dianetics, which is Scientology. That's part of the demonic aspect as well. And of course, you got to pay money so you can become more enlightened. There's voodoo, fortune tellers, which is my background in being a gypsy, and we did a lot of that. Of course, astrology is there. New Age movement mixes all astral projection. You can love the earth. The universe is there to guide us. It's all in that. And I've put down aliens. Aliens are becoming more normal today. And I talked about how you see them in the news. You see how they're coming to people, and they're coming unusually in the shape of orbs, which if you've ever been in the occult, hopefully you haven't, but when demons come, they come in an orb of light sometimes. Pictures or cameras sometimes take it. And again, you have to put in sex with the demonic activity. So do we see that in our society today? Yeah. And here's the thing. Someone can say, well, this has been around throughout history. It's always been around. But has it? Let's take, for example, have we had sex dolls? Technology, has it been the way it has? Has it been like this? No. Well, what about the ability to change, supposedly the ability to change your gender through an operation? Was that ever around? No. So there is a lot more than there was throughout any time in history, especially when it comes to technology. The ability, now they thought, how is every eye going to see Jesus when he comes back? Well, it's simple. You have your phone. You have your computer. If you're in the house sleeping, you wake up, oh, look at that, Jesus came back. That's a possibility. So it has never been like this in the entire history of our world. When you think about technology, and technology plays a big role in it, all of this is going on. So we have the explosion of population, sexual perversion. We have demonic activities. And then what else do we have to see if we are in times of, or the end times, or in days of Noah? It says, constant evil in the hearts of men. There's another one. And I put this scripture up there, and it says what? 1 Timothy 6:9-10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish, harmful lusts, which drown men in perdition. Yes. For the love of money is a, remember it's a, it's not the, root of all kinds of what? Evil. And we all know this scripture, right? We all know this. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So what are some examples of greed, and how does greed for money and power, the heart of men being evil, what does it do? Because it corrupts. You have big tech. I put it up there. You know what big tech does? They're money and power. They will censor you. They will go on your phone, Chuck, on your computer. The banking industry, of course. There's the Trilateral Commission. There's the Bilderbergs. There's the Rockefellers. There's Chase, J.P. Morgan. Those are the elitists. And it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Because when you become so arrogant and full of pride that you know you have the power, you don't have to hide. The Illuminati is a joke now, but it's real. Because it's like, it's one of the many. The food industry, Monsanto's, because of money, genetically modifying food. You have the Terminator gene that causes cancer. Birds and animals will not touch it because their senses know that it's poison. Our food is contaminated for the sake of money. The medical industry. The medical industry is not about healing, but we talk about it here that it's healthcare, but it's not healthcare. It's sick care. Because if you were doing healthcare, you would say, all right, let me tell you about nutrition. But there is money in the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry. Why would they want to find a cure for cancer and all the other diseases? You would make money. And that is the problem. When you look at what Timothy says here, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. A root for all kinds of evil. And isn't that true? When you think about our world today, is this going on? Do the people who make money have power and twist things for their benefit? Do they suppress truth? I think I talked about this, a couple years ago. Back in the 90s, early 90s, there was an invention. A man invented a washing machine that cleans your clothes through sonic vibration. It was cleaner than any other clothes and detergents and all that stuff. Wonderful invention. Would have been great for all of us. No toxins or nothing. Where is it? Do you see it out there? Why is that? Because the detergent industry went and bought it and forced them. They don't just say lovingly, I'll give you $1 million or $2 million. They literally can force you because they have the power to force you to do these things and give up your patents. And that's not the only one. There are so many other good inventions out there that have been suppressed because of the greed of man. So is that in our world today as well, in the days of Noah? Yeah. And is it more so than ever before? Well, a yes and no, because greed was always around, but you got technology now. You have more control of people. So what else do we have besides that to see if it is like the days of Noah? We have widespread corruption and violence. Our government is hypocritical and corrupt. And when you think about our government and all those things in the list, they all go together. When you think about our government right now, and take, for example, Biden. Biden, when it comes to COVID, he has said before that you need to wear masks. You need to get the shot. You need to have your card. All of that stuff. And the spread is because people are not wearing their masks. And of course, he decides to blame it mostly on the governors who are in Texas and in Florida. And there's no proof in that. But here's a man who has opened the borders, letting people in by the thousand who have COVID. They're not only coming from Mexico, they're coming from everywhere. And guess where? They're being shipped off to all those countries. So here's a man who's saying, you need to have your vaccines, you need to have your cards, and he is propagating this, and he's blaming it on other people. He's saying you need your mask, right? But at the same token, you don't need your ID to vote. You don't. You don't need your ID to vote, but you need your ID to prove so you can buy or sell, because you are a danger to everyone else. And when you think about the COVID and what's happening, that it's wickedness by man because it's an invented virus. They had the patent back in, what was it, 2014? Everything is meant to be like this. I talked about Agenda 21. That was back in the 80s and all this. It's nothing new. But when you think about, again, the COVID, people have died with the vaccine, without the vaccine, taking the vaccine, getting sick, putting their mask on. And if it is true that this is a cure, why are there healthcare workers who are choosing to lose their jobs than to get the vaccine? Now, granted, some of you may have got the vaccine. That's okay. The Lord protects. But you have to ask yourself the question, why are they pushing it so much? Why is it forced upon you? I mean, what is it about this stuff? Why is it that half is split in the scientific community? You know, I subscribe to this doctor who is a holistic doctor. He was a decathlon champion, one of the top 10. And he did specialty and all that. You know what he says about all this stuff? Health. But what does the media tell you? And I'm going to go on a rant on this for a while because I think I've come to the end of myself to a certain degree. The media tells you statements like this. 35-year-old man, after in essence dealing with cancer or overcoming cancer in good health, has died of COVID. But see, those words are bait words. They're tactics. People need to read between the lines. A person who's out of chemotherapy and basically, in essence, let's say they're done with cancer and it's in remission, they are not healthy. They are far from healthy. In a scale, there's a scale, and generally here's health. Here's the best health you can get. And I was looking at what he was saying. He's explaining this, and here's basically death. No one will ever be at optimal health. Why is that? About what I just talked about, the love of money. Our food is poison. The air is being poisoned. Everything around us is being poisoned. There is stress in our lives, and the food is the number one thing. And what don't you hear in the healthcare industry? That it is insulin. What is that? Insulin. You have insulin tolerance that is really causing the problems. And he's breaking it down, this guy. He looks at it logically, and he's saying that's the problem. Why do we have children that are obese? What is the wickedness in this? What kind of information is not being told to us? And you see, when the body is unhealthy, it cannot protect itself. There's sugar in everything. Sugar is a poison. It is a poison. We have it in everything. So of course we're all messed up. There's hormones in everything, and that is the issue, more than anything, he's saying. But if you were to eat right, if you were to take, turmeric and all the rest of these spices and stuff that help, he says they're better off. But our bodies are so taxed that it's hard for us to deal with these things. Now, when I caught COVID like a year and a half ago, I said, all right, it's time for me to take my elixir that I learned from an 82-year-old man who was still a food server. And I asked him, how do you do this? Well, he takes garlic, lemon, and honey. So I said, you know what? Let me look at all this stuff. Well, let me add turmeric and ginger to that. And oregano. And you have anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and antibiotic. And it's natural. So I said, okay, this COVID's out. Every day, shots of that stuff. I was taking all the stuff. And it didn't affect me as much. Why? Because I was generally in good health. My wife was barely affected. She felt a little odd. But her immune system has always been better than mine. I don't sleep a lot. I'm stressed in the brain. My brain doesn't shut off. What does that do to your immune system? And the whole point of this is because the media is telling you that healthy people are dying. If you do enough research, well, the person isn't really healthy. There are issues, underlying issues, that a person doesn't even know. So there's half-truths all over the place in this stuff. And this guy who's a nutritionist, who has studied extensively, sees all these things and know it. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. But I'm asking everyone always to think and read between the lines on what people tell us in this COVID. And especially it comes to our government, who is corrupt. What's a good example of this? Well, Obama just had his birthday, 60 years old. And that's a good thing. He's not wrong with that. He just called a couple of hundred of his closest friends, not wearing masks. Some of them were not vaccinated, but we're not supposed to know that. And the video leaked out. How is that possible, right? Nancy Pelosi, Pastor Tim was just telling me that she had a banquet or a fundraiser. No one was wearing masks. And everyone was white except for the servers. And this is the Democratic Party. So in essence, what they're saying is, do as I say, not as I do. And why is that? Because they are the elitists. They are the ones in control and power. How do we know that every one of them took the vaccine? How do we know this? How many people actually look inside to see what's in that? But now the FDA came out and said, we approved it. Of course you did, because you're under pressure. Again, answer the question, why are there so many healthcare workers choosing to leave their jobs? Now, we understand God could take care of us. But the point comes to this. When is it that we little by little give up our freedoms? Little by little. I mean, can I say my body, my choice? Or is that only for the slaughter of children? Why can't I say that, right? How is me not getting the vaccine going to affect someone else who was vaccinated? Because it's supposed to work. So it shouldn't affect you if I'm taking my life into my own hands. It shouldn't affect anyone else. So if the elitists can have their parties without masks and dance the night away, how come you can't go to a store or anywhere else? Why do you need to show your card? Why is that? And see, that's the thing. A lot of people don't think anymore. Here's another interesting thing, and I am sort of going to rant a little bit on the left. Collusion. There's a lot of collusion. We know when Trump was here, he was in collusion with everywhere. But Hunt and Biden, we already know, but it was swept to the side, was involved with Russia, and so was his father. Voting fraud. Is there anyone really believes that Biden won the election? How is that possible that one person can get seven ballots, but you don't hear about that? How is it possible that animals are voting and dead people are voting? You know? But again, you need to get vaccinated. You need to wear a mask. You need your card because you can't go out. But if you're going to vote, it's okay to go without your ID. Isn't that odd? Isn't that unusual? Isn't that corrupt? So what's going on? And we see the administration today. Look what's happening in Afghanistan. He wanted to make good on a promise. And what did he do? He took out the troops before he took out the Americans and all of the arsenal that was there. And the brand new, Apache helicopters that is in the hands of the Taliban right now. What is behind this? I mean, I think about it in the corruption in the days of, we're still on the days, of course, of Noah, but is this president really following his own mind? Because it's a proven fact now that he's incompetent. You see it, and yes, I feel bad for the guy, but are these his decisions? Right? Then you have Antifa, Black Lives Matters. Black Lives Matter had nothing to do with it. And then, of course, in all of this, you had the vice president, Kamala, disappearing for 6 days. Then she comes out in an interview. She's laughing in her laugh when she's uncomfortable because that's a telltale. Sometimes it's a telltale sign that someone isn't telling the truth and she's been caught in it before. That's some of the things you learn in reading body language and psychology and the rest of the things, how a person may tell the truth or not. But where is the outrage for all of the stuff that's happening right now? Now, granted, let's be fair a little bit. CNN and MSNBC is starting to say, well, Biden, we don't like what you're doing, but it's a little nice, right? So is all this, what is happening here? And who are the bad people still in these times? It is the Christians, it is the Jews, and it is anyone who is a conservative. So where is all this? What about abortion? That's okay, right? See, corruption for money. And when I talk about it at this point, when I'm talking about the left, you're looking at the time of God's judgment coming up. I've come to the conclusion, if you say you are a Christian, if you say you are honoring God, if you say you know the Word of God, how can you still be a Democrat? Because the Democrat Party has left. It's not the Democratic Party of JFK. How can you say that? And I get angry. Why? I get angry at Christians. I get angry at Christians who continue to vote in that party, and I'm going to talk about the Republicans in a minute, but to vote like that. And why is that? If you know Christ. Well, for me, I see two reasons. It is pride or ignorance. Nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to admit that I've been following or believing something or teaching something that was wrong. That takes a humbling. But look at what's happening right now. Everything that the left accused the right of, or Trump, they are doing or have done. And there's no outrage. Now, granted, the good thing about technology is that when you go on Facebook and Twitter and all those things, they still show some stuff going on. There's this one guy, and he's called the liberal hive mind. His job is to show the hypocrisy of the left. He is shadow banned on YouTube, which means you cannot find him unless you're already subscribed. And that happens because he speaks truth. But before you think I'm 100% Republican, I'm not. I'm conservative. I will vote according to Christ. When you look at the right, there's corruption in the right. Supposedly, the right is all about, they're anti-abortion. They're for the right for life. How many presidents can you name in the past that actually stood up and really fought against abortion? Or were they just playing the card? Or were they just playing politics so they can get some money and get elected into office? The only one I know, and I stand to be corrected, was Trump, who walked in the right for life. Now, granted, Trump is not perfect. He is no savior, but he did care about America. And compared to him and this administration, how could anyone not see? How could they not understand? It's like people forgot the Democratic Party was the one that was against freeing the slaves. It's like people forgot that even Hillary's friends were part of the KKK in the South. People forgot that it was the Democratic Party that were the KKK. And it angers me that they continue to go blindly and saying, I will support to my death. I don't understand that. There's some videos out there where a lady goes around interviewing the woke white people. So she goes to these two blonde ladies and she asks the question, what do you think about Kamala Harris? And they're like, oh, I really love her and she's a great woman, a woman of color. She's barely a woman of color, barely. But I really enjoy her. And then they ask another question to another two people. And she goes on and says, what do you like? Well, I enjoy her, same thing, that she's a woman and she's a woman of color, and I really like her policies. Now, you've opened the door right there. You better be able to answer that. All right, let's take a look at our youth today. So what type of policies do you like of hers? Huh? I actually don't know any of her policies. Oh, can you tell me some? Can you not put this on camera? Now, those are the people who are voting but don't know what they're voting for. Then the other people they interviewed said the same thing. I don't know of any. So what is going on here? See, this is the thing about, the fraud, the media, this whole thing about power. If you don't read between the lines, they put out words that are buzzwords, emotional words, to get you to feel rather than to think. And that's all you got to do, because people are generally truly gullible. If you don't exercise your mind, you will fall into all this stuff. And going back to what? Right and wrong. Here is Adam and Eve also knowing right from wrong. Adam may have been around, alive at this time. But yet, what happened? Corruption. The Christians not doing what they should. Christians becoming perverted. Christians continuing in things that they shouldn't. And it continues to happen. All of what we see up there, COVID, collusion, voting fraud, what's happening in Afghanistan, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you don't hear about them anymore. Why? Because they got paid. It amazes me how many white people were in the Black Lives Matters. But you don't see the videos of the black people who are conservatives. You don't see the videos of many people saying, I am part of this. You don't see the videos of black Republicans, black conservatives who are running for office. And why is that? What is going on here? And people think, when you're looking at the Democratic Party, that that's the party that is tolerant, but yet they have their cancel culture. If you try to speak truth, they'll shut you down through emotions. And they'll yell and scream, and they're violent. Why is that? They're supposed to be the ones who are freeing the people. But it seems like they have not given up their power over slavery. And it seems like the whip and the noose has been replaced by Planned Parenthood and welfare. Now, some people need welfare. But what do you get if you're a woman with kids and not a husband? More money. Why is it, again, that Planned Parenthood is in all the areas where you see minorities? Why is it that they don't remember that Margaret Sanger was a white woman who was part of this to decrease the population of what? The brown and black skinned people. But yet, it's forgotten. And if I'm wrong, if there's anyone who may be watching that is Democratic, I would love for you to prove me wrong. Everything that I said, if it's wrong, I would love to be wrong. But as you can see, at both parties, one seems to be better than another. Is there corruption in there? Yes, of course. But you're looking at what they split. And there's only basically two you can vote for. You're stuck in that. Everything becomes corrupt right now. But the hypocrisy is there. And that's what we see. Widespread corruption and violence. People being deceived. Truth being hidden. Just like the days of Noah. Why do people follow? Why do they listen to their leaders? Because what's happening is the game. It's a sleight of hand. Look over here and you don't see me taking from here and all your freedoms. I'm going to give you some crumbs and little by little take away your ability to think for yourselves, to see truth. I want you to feel rather than think. And that's what is happening to most of the world. There is no good arguments. When you talk to someone and you ask them certain questions, they will get angry and they'll just feel. But that's what's being taught. So widespread corruption. And again, I say this. How can you continue to say you know Christ, the Word, and dishonor Him even in your voting in the party that you're with? How can you? It's either you're ignorant or it's your pride. And I would say that we all need to humble ourselves and admit when we're wrong and follow what the Lord says. And if there is a Democratic person that comes out and says, you know what, I'm not about these Democrats. I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in this, I'll vote for you. But you can't trust right or left all the time because once they get in office, they'll tell you things. Corruption. We are accountable to Christ. We are accountable to do what's right before Christ, not before man. And some may say, well, the Bible says that we are supposed to honor the people in authority. And that's true. But what does it mean to honor people in authority? And what authority? Are we to honor the puppet government or the government of our founding fathers? Which was right. Is it honoring the people who are in authority when you're not correcting them? The Bible tells that we are to correct each other, to exhort each other. Why do we not do that for our people in government? And we should. They need to be corrected. Is that not respect and honoring? When you see someone's hand going into the fire on their way to hell, shouldn't we say, no, let me explain something to you. What you're doing is against what God would want. Don't you see it? And to wake people up. That is honoring the government. We have to be careful not to dishonor the Lord in our decisions and find ourselves in that place and our mind, body, and soul becoming dull because it takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump, and we have to be careful what we're doing in life. So yes, I did go on a rant and a rave, but I think I'm just irritated, and it's righteous anger. It's not my own, you know. You look at the people in authority, and it's wickedness that they're doing. They are the elitist. They want you to bow before them because we are the servants. And that's what it is. Years and years ago, there was a nephew of the Rockefellers who was a friend of another rich man. And he came out and he came against him. And you probably won't find this. But he was explaining how the mindset of them are. And he's like, what do you care about these people? They are serfs. In other words, they are servants. Right. But that's the way they see it. Everyone who has the power, everyone who is there, you do what I say, not as I do. I can be without a mask. I can have a party. I could gander with hundreds of people because I am all powerful. The love of power, which includes money, is the root of all kinds, is one of the roots of all kinds of evils. And you see it in our government and in the governments of the world. People are dying in Afghanistan. You guys have seen what's happening. They're on the plane. Girls are begging to be let out because they know they're going to be sex slaves or into prostitution. Christians are getting beat up. There are people who are getting killed. And now they have all the technology and the weapons they need. But then again, when you look at this, where does God play into this? Is he warning people? Is it possible for America to recover? Because the way you see it, there's no way of going back to the founding fathers' ways. There isn't at all, unless the Lord opens the heart and the minds of the people and people act and do something and stand up for truth. Now, I'm not preaching a social gospel, because the only way a right social gospel works is if that you present the gospel of Christ first, because men's hearts must change before their actions can change. And many Christians are still being deceived, and they choose to stay in something that is against the Lord. So those are the days of Noah, and we see that today. Does every one of those categories fit into what Jesus was saying and the days of Noah was? So is that God? What is God? What is God's heart towards all of this? What are we supposed to do for these leaders? And again, we respect them. We don't cuss them out. We don't harbor bitterness for them. You can be righteous anger, but you cannot sin in your anger when there's wickedness out. So, when we go to verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So what does that exactly mean? And I said I was going to talk about that. Does that mean that God repented? Well, we have to understand it, which is difficult to understand God, but we're understanding it in our own human way and what Moses was trying to put into the scriptures. And how would we read this? To get into it, not go too much into Hebrew, but this is how you'd read it. God, again, he can change his mind, and it's conditional. It's based upon what? Free will and what you do. We know in the Bible says, if you do this, you will be blessed. If you do this, you will be cursed. In other words, if you follow me, I'll bless you. If you don't, well, I'm going to have to spank you. I'm going to have to let you go and do your thing. He said what in the beginning? Be fruitful to Adam and Eve and multiply. And they did. But what? He says you have to follow my ways and be blessed, like I said. And if you don't, you'll be cursed. What does the scripture mean? He says, I am full of sorrow that I made you. Well, why? Why are you full of sorrow, Lord? Because you chose evil instead of good. And it hurts me, God would say, that I must destroy you. Destroy what I created out of love. And see, that's the heart of God. He hurts when you're looking at what the scripture says here. He's sorrowful that he must now be the judge, not to show mercy, but to condemn sin in all of the world. And that's verse 6 is what it's saying. It hurts me. Think about a child in your life or someone you love. You give them everything, you try everything, but they continue to walk opposite of the right way. You need to let them go. But it hurts you. It hurts me that I have to separate my relationship with you. It hurts me that I have to not be able to help you anymore when you come to my door and ask me for money because you're a drug addict or an alcohol. Like, I can't, because it's not really helping you. Because there comes a point in time when, again, God's grace, and I talked about it, ends. Because he's like, enough. There is a point of no return where people will no longer listen to sound doctrine like the Bible says. And is that the heart of God? Is that what he's saying? Well, let's look at... No, you won't be looking at it because I don't think I have the slide for that. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 23, here is Jesus who is God. And what is his heart? What is the heart of God towards people? People who do wrong, whether they're religious or not. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who what? Kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How I long to gather you as a children, gather you as children, like a hen gathers her what? Chicks under her wing. What is he saying? I wanted to teach you. I wanted to show you. I wanted to train you. Going back to come to me who are heavy burden and laden under the law and all that stuff. I wanted to show you the right way. But you were not willing. God is crying out here in flesh. And he says what? See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me no more. Here's hope, because there's always hope in Christ. Till you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So with Jesus, with God, there's always hope. In his heart, he was, I'm trying to help you, but you reject for your own. Just like the world is doing right now. Just like our government is doing right now. Just like Christians who claim to be Christians but are not acting accordingly. There's still grace in that. And we who are grafted in, it goes to us too. When he talks about Jerusalem, we're part of that because we were grafted in to Israel. And we see that. So verse 7, he goes on and said, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. For I am sorry once again that I have made man. The sin corrupted everything. Remember when I said a little leaven leavens the whole? He had to wipe away everything. But in that, you read on in verse 8, it says what? But, here is God's judgment. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here is hope. God always has a remnant of people to save and to counter the plans of Satan. Satan does not want to fulfill his purpose to come down. Of course, he would like to destroy all of humanity and destroy the seed of man where the Messiah cannot come. He doesn't want to get to the point where he has to come down angry. So of course he's going to try, but the Lord's heart is mercy. And I think I probably passed some, but that's okay. I think I was going to show you that. So what does he say also in Ezekiel 33:11? What is the heart of God even to our government who is wicked? He says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Now, I just did a little rant about the left, and of course there is on the right. They're doing a lot of wicked things. But God's heart is not that they should be destroyed, but that they would turn from their evil ways, and that's what our heart should be. Because when you honor people, you would correct them in love and tell them what you're doing is wrong. It's not good. And that is respecting someone. Also, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in these verses that we read, are we in the times of Noah? I think more so than ever before. And I gave the examples. One, what? The physical appetites. Advances, of course, in technology. Materialistic mindsets, which we see. Uniform philosophies. What are we? Devoted to pleasure and comfort. People don't want to work. My wife is finding a hard time hiring people because they want freebies. No concern for God or belief in God and his ways. Sacredness in marriage. Gone. Rejection of the true word of God. And yes, a lot of people, Christians, choose to say, I don't believe what the Bible says. What is it also? Widespread violence. Corruption, like I said, through our society. Preoccupation with sexual activities. What else? Blasphemy, widespread. Organized satanic activities. We see that all around us. Witchcraft, Harry Potter, all these other things. They're all satanic. And a system and movements that are abnormal and are very depraved. I said some of these right now. None of them honoring God, none of them following God. Everything seems chaotic. Everything seems wrong. Everything seems like, you know, there's no hope. But there is, of course, in Christ. And I wanted to actually end it with something Tim sent out today in his devotionals. Here's what he says for Christians when we think about all this. He quoted Romans 15:13, and it says, "Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And he says, "Hope is such a miracle. There's not much of it in the world today. It's what allows us to be at peace when there's nothing but fear and chaos around us. We have the Holy Spirit who is able to give us hope." And that is true. God says, Jesus said, man can say it's impossible, but Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. So I want to end it, of course, right there because I think I've passed my time. And we're going to get into verse 9. And we're left with, we see what's going on in the world. It is the time of Noah. Christ says it. All these things are lining up for his return. When he's going to come, we don't know. It's all up to the Lord and his mercy. But our job, again, is to preach to people, everyone we can. People who are in the wrong, if they are in error, we correct them with love. Yes, also our governments. We speak truth. We try to help those whose hand is in the fire are on their road to hell. That is the mission of a Christian. That should be our heart's desire. And TrueLife.org made it easy to do such a thing. So we are in the end times, but there is hope in Christ, and we look up, as Tim likes to say a lot, because our redemption draws nigh. But as that comes, we want to grab as many people as possible to go up there with us, in and out of our government, whether they're the right or the left, people we know and don't know. We lift them up in prayer because that's God's heart. He wants to correct and save those who are lost and who are in sin. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your heart that wants to save everyone. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give us more of your heart, to have a burning desire for the people who are in error, who are lost, and even to examine ourselves if we are for or truly against you, as your scripture says that we should examine ourselves to see if we truly are in the faith. And I lift up the president, the vice president, those on the left and the right, and I'm asking that you would break through, Lord. Break through and bring truth, deliverance, salvation to them, Father. Do what needs to be done so they can be saved. And your word does say sometimes the flesh has to be cast to Satan so the soul may be saved. But do what needs to be done, and we lift up all the people in the Middle East who are suffering, Father. Be with them. Let your light shine in this, Lord. You can do all things, and you can use this to show your goodness and your glory. Father, use us in any way you want possible, and help us to endure whatever you want us to do. Help us to be bold and to speak when we need to, and to be silent and loving when we don't need to. Help us to speak and to show actions according to the way your Spirit tells us to do this. I ask that you again go before us, everyone here and everyone watching online, that again you give us that hunger. Help us to see with your eyes. Help us to love the way you love. And also help us, Lord, to have a righteous anger, to correct the way you would correct through the leading of your Spirit. Keep us in line with you and in step with your Spirit. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God.